Hello and welcome to the very first edition of our brand new Transfer Talk podcast. We're going to be bringing you debates and analysis throughout the January window from our team of transfer experts at Sky Sports News as we dig into all the biggest storylines both in the Premier League and around Europe. My name is Pete Graves, and with me in the studio right now are two of the most well-connected reporters in the transfer business, Kaveh Solokol and Dharmesh Sheth. Lads, good morning. How are we?
Yep, not too bad, Pete. Raring to go. Only a couple of days now before the window opens.
Yeah, it's getting exciting now, isn't it?
Pete, thanks for well connected, by the way. Really appreciate that. Well, can I just give you a quick heads up,
There are going to be some lies on this podcast, yes. So that was the first one. We've got so much to get through. And throughout this whole podcast, the idea is we're going to be talking about all the big stories involving all the Premier League clubs and clubs across Europe as well, where necessary. So we're going to be joined by Guillaume Balague, who's in Madrid today ahead of El Clásico. We're going to be getting the latest news from La Liga, but we're also, of course, be talking a lot about the Premier League. We've got the Ozil and Sanchez situation at Arsenal. We've got what's happening with Ross Barkley at Everton. We've got loads of players out of contract at Man United. We've got Coutinho and Liverpool. That's still rumbling on. And loads of teams with new managers as well. So they're going to all hopefully be spending money in the window. We expect it to be a very, very busy January. So much to get through. So stick with us. But we're going to start, of course, by talking about the window itself. It opens on January the 1st. And clubs have got until 11 p.m. on January the 31st to get their business done. But lads, let's be realistic. Although the window's not open yet, I mean, how much work is already being done, do we think?
A lot of work is already being done. I mean, I think the best way to describe it is if you were going to buy a house and you were told that you had to buy the house in January. Now, you're not going to start looking for that house on January the 1st.
No.
You're going to do your homework before. So that is what's happening with clubs at the moment. I think for the past few months, they've been going through their list of targets, talking to agents, seeing who's available, looking for players they can move for. And I think what's going to be really interesting in this window is the amount of players who are free agents in the summer, whether their clubs sell them now or wait till they can leave on free transfers. And of course, we've got a whole host of players who from January the 1st can start talking to clubs because they're going to be out of contract in the summer.
Do you expect that to be a major theme, Toms?
Absolutely. I mean, just looking at the names of some of these free agents, I've got a list here in front of me, but you just look at Arsenal straight away. Mesut Ozil, Alexis Sanchez, Jack Wilshere, three of the biggest names I think that will be talked about quite a lot in the January window. And of course, Arsene Wenger has been asked about it nearly every single week for the last three windows?
Yeah.
As they're contracts come towards an end. It's the one question that Arsene Wenger is being asked all the time. And it's not just at Arsenal. You look at Manchester City, Fernandinho. He's out of contract at the end of the season. You'd expect...
He's had a great season.
Exactly. You'd expect Manchester City to be holding talks with him to try and extend that. Manchester United is another big one, which I'm sure we're going to touch on soon. There's about six or seven players who will be out of contract at the end of this season, but then there's an option for them to extend their contracts by a further year. It'll be interesting to see what happens at Manchester United, but I think Arsenal is going to be perhaps the biggest talking point. Will these players stay or go?
Let's have a look at that list. That list's unbelievable. If you're looking at this, if you're a manager of a Premier League player, sorry, steal it off your Dharmesh.
That's all right.
It's unbelievable players on this list. You've got a list here. I love this, Dharmesh. Not just here in the Premier League, but in Europe as well. Some unbelievable players that come. Jean Moutinho, Monaco.
Frank
Goodness
Ribery.
Me, Hatem Ben Arfa's on there. Pepe Reina at Napoli. He was linked with a move to the Premier League, wasn't he? There's loads of players in there. Oh, Mario Balotelli as well. This list is quite incredible. I'm sure names on here are going to feature throughout the
Balotelli's actually throughout the been quoted as saying that he'd go back to City for free.
Would he? Well, I'm sure City would love to have him back, wouldn't they? I mean, they need him. They need him. They're struggling right now. A lot of players on it. Willy Caballero, he's just signed for Chelsea. Did he just sign a one-year deal, did he?
Yes.
Right. Oh, this list is incredible.
Man's
right.
Chelsea.
I've got... Yeah, lads, I think this is going to be a cracking January window. I really do. Are we all in agreement? And I'm not just saying it because obviously we've got this podcast, we've got Sky Sports News, and the cynical listener will be thinking, oh, well, they're always saying it's going to be a good window. But I genuinely feel this is going to be a belter.
Sometimes, you know what, when you look at the end of a window, and if there hasn't been that much business done, people immediately say, that wasn't the best window, was it? But it's sometimes the process of getting to something not happening is as exciting as the deal happening itself. Mm. If you look at deadline day in the summer, Thomas Lemar's story sticks out for me. He didn't go anywhere, admittedly, but there was a £90 million bid from Arsenal late on. Liverpool were interested. Suddenly it was like, What's going on here?
Yeah.
So it's not always the players that move, it's the ones that don't as well.
Nice.
I think what's interesting as well is that we're going to be picking up on stories that, you know, didn't quite finish in the last summer transfer window. All these things like Ozil, Sanchez, Coutinho, it's all going to start up again on January the 1st.
Yeah, you're seeing that already. You're seeing that already, aren't you? Players that almost moved in the window. I was reading yesterday, Kennedy, Newcastle, Chelsea's lad Kennedy.
Yeah.
Very nearly moved to Newcastle in the window. Already he's been linked saying, like, deal done, loan deal to the end of the season in certain parts of the press. So it'd be interesting, deals that didn't quite get done in the last window might happen this one.
Yeah, and the big one there is got to be Alexis Sanchez.
Of course, yeah.
And the information we're getting out of Manchester City is that they're confident that they're going to sign him in the summer. Very, very confident that he wants to go. He's still got his heart set on moving to City.
Yeah, because why move for him now? You've got the Ozil and Sanchez situation at Arsenal. And Arsenal have got to be thinking as well, do they sell or do they stick? Of course, there's many pros and cons to both of those potential situations. If they keep them there, they've got them through to the end of the season, the battle to get in the top four, but then they lose them for free in the summer. You're saying already City...
The information we're getting is that City is so relaxed about this situation because they know that the player wants to move to City. He wants to work with Pep.
But you say, the question you put there, why would City go for him in January and not wait until the summer? Yes, financially, yes, why would they? But one big factor, I think, is these are two of the biggest players in the world, and very, very strangely, they haven't played in the Champions League. Arsenal in the Europa League. That's good enough reason for Manchester City to go for someone like Alexis Sanchez. He's not cup tied for the Champions League.
The other one there is Virgil van Dijk.
Exactly.
£70 million. He's not cup tied. Would Southampton prefer to sell him to Manchester City instead of Liverpool?
And the noises we're getting now from Manchester City is that the priority in January is to bring in a central defender.
And they're
in dialogue with Southampton and Virgil.
From Van Dijk's point of view, move to Man City, you've won the title, you've got a good chance of winning the Champions League.
They haven't won the title yet.
Well, 11 points clear, playing this extraordinary...
You don't say this to a Newcastle fan, by the way. Don't take me back to 95. No, look, I've got a question here from... And it's important that I say this to you guys listening to us. We really appreciate you being here and listening to this podcast. And we want to get your questions in throughout. And I've got one to throw to the guys straight away. And just to let you know, if you do want to question us, you can email us at transfertalk@sky.uk or you can hashtag transfertalk on Twitter as well. And also go onto the iTunes and give us a 5-star. We'll tell you, if you put a question on that, we will guarantee you that we will read your question on this podcast. So even if a million of you do it, we're going to get through them all. So go on, give us 5-star. So here's the first question. It's from Jonathan Gordon. He sent this in via email to transfertalk@sky.uk. Thanks for that, Jonathan. Right, he says this. Hi, guys. Huge fan of Sky Sports Transfer Centre and I follow the live blog daily. So excited for this new podcast. Jonathan, you're a legend. Right. He says, I'm an Arsenal fan, slightly confused as to the situation with Ozil and Sanchez come January. He says, I always thought if a player gets to 6 months left on their contract, they can sign a pre-agreement with no transfer fee and then move in June. But I keep hearing people say that we'll get 20 to 25 million for them. And he's talking about, obviously, Sanchez and Ozil. My question is, how will we get money for them if they're available to move for free in the summer and they sign a pre-agreement in January?
All the points Jonathan makes, in all, he's got all the points in there. He's just got slightly confused with how it works. So a player from the Premier League who is in the final year of his contract in January can sign a pre-contract agreement with a foreign club to move in the summer for free. So he can sign the pre-contract agreement in January and he'll move in the summer. But he can't sign a pre-contract agreement with a club in the Premier League or anywhere else in England. It's only a foreign club. So if they want to move in January to an English club, then there'll be a transfer fee involved. That's where he's hearing this £20 to 25 million from.
He also says, is the Thomas Lamar deal still likely?
Interesting. Well, at the moment, it could be resurrected. Arsenal have been interested. They last day of the last window, incredibly. You know, they made that £90 million move for him, didn't get him. Liverpool interested as well. Would they go in January again? If they were going to get him in the summer, Jose Mourinho, just to quote him, he said that the January transfer window is often a very difficult one to do business in, and he'd only really do business in January if the targets he was going for in the summer would be available in January. I'm guessing clubs and managers from other Premier League clubs might be thinking the same thing.
Right. And I think if it was left to Lamar, I think he'd probably prefer to go to Liverpool if he had a choice between Arsenal and Liverpool.
Quick one, guys. Ozil, Sanchez, stay in January or will they move? Dharma, your thoughts? Go, but Sanchez first.
Sanchez stays.
Yeah, Ozil?
Stays.
Wow. Okay, yeah, Carvey?
I think they'll both stay. And I think there's a good chance both of them will be playing in Manchester next season.
Okay, we will see. Well, another Arsenal player is out of contract this summer, of course, Jack Wilshere. He spoke to Sky Sports News about his future earlier this week. And here's what he had to say.
I said it before I even played in the Premier League, this is where I want to be. You know, this is where I see myself in the future. You know, whether I will be and whether things sort themselves out, we will see in the next couple of weeks, I suppose. But, you know, I definitely want to be. I'm enjoying my football. I'm playing in the Premier League now and, you know, I want to help Arsenal get to where it should be.
Beyond January and beyond the summer?
As I said, if that's the case and it turns out like that, then of course I want to be here. And we just have to sort things out, and you know, I'm sure that will happen in the next couple of weeks and it will be sorted.
Yeah, sorted, says Jack Wilshere. I mean, how do you solve a problem like Jack Wilshere? He's gone off to Bournemouth, had a loan move where he looked sensational initially and then didn't play as much as he would have liked again, which has been the thing that's sort of dampened his entire career. What's the situation with him? He's now playing again, he's back in the team and he's playing well as well. He's such a talented player, isn't he? What's going to happen? Is he going to stay or is he going to go?
He's another one, 6 months left on his contract. The noises Wenger has been making in his press conferences has said, look, Jack Wilshere is an Arsenal player. He's Arsenal through and through. He believes that his future is best served here. In the next couple of weeks, before the end of December...
You think a contract will be announced?
There are talks over it. We'll get one. I think there will be a decision one way or the other, because there'll have to be.
The other interesting thing about Wilshere is I don't think it's just about a new contract for him. It's also about the World Cup, playing for England in the summer in Russia.
Yeah, because he's massive for England. Well, potentially should be
exactly.
Massive,
you know,
for England.
Gareth Southgate, he is in Gareth Southgate's thoughts. There have been some question marks about, you know, central midfield for England. Not enough creativity there.
If he's fit, Dele, he plays, guys, right?
Dele Alli not having a great season so far. Could Jack Wilshere come back in there? And interesting, Gareth Southgate was talking to Sky this week, and he was talking about how he selects players for England squads, and he said they had to tick four boxes. The first box was...
Smell good, look good, dress well.
the first box was, are they technically good enough to play for England? Obviously, Jack Wilshere is. The second box he had to tick was, tactically, is he good enough to play for England? Yeah, he obviously is. The third one that may be a concern is
he fit?
Physically, yeah. You know, can his body withstand the demands of international football?
Okay.
Question mark there. And the final one was the mental strength. Are you, you know, mentally tough enough to play for England?
Which he would be, without doubt. He's been through so much, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's such an important January for Jack Wilshere. If he can get a new contract at Arsenal, carry on playing for Arsenal in the Premier League, I think he'll get back in England.
Jokes aside, everybody wants Jack Wilshere to be fit. I think everyone does. I mean, you know, fair enough. I guess the Spurs fans that can't stand Jack Wilshere because, like you said and like Wenger said, he's Arsenal through and through. But he's such a talented player. He's classy on the ball. And we all just want him to be fit. The lad can't get a break.
And it's too much of a gamble for him to move this January somewhere else. You know, clubs like Marseille are interested in signing him. For him to go to Marseille, would he play? Would people be watching him every week?
Does playing in Ligue 1 help?
Yeah, you see what happened to Joe Hart when he went to Italy.
Joey Barton at Marseille.
Exactly.
The thing with Wilshere, I think there's also a real willingness for him to be fit, to play regularly and to get back into the England squad, because there's a recognition that he perhaps has got qualities that perhaps England don't have in the current squad.
I would love to hear from Arsenal fans on Jack Wilshere, because for me, I just wonder, despite his injury problems, I think Arsenal fans would love to keep him at the club, because everyone knows that if he's fit and playing well, there's few better for me in the league. And I just hope for the lad and for Arsenal that he can get fit. We've got to move on. Another English player, and I don't say young English player, because we talked about this before, Wilshere, 25. Yeah, and another English player who needs to play more regularly, of course, over the second half of the season, is that man Ross Barkley. Now, if he's going to force his way into Gareth Southgate's World Cup plans, he's got to be playing the Everton player, doesn't he? But he came close to leaving in the summer. He is in the final year of his contract. He's on this list of Dharmeshes, of players who could leave in the summer. So we've been speaking to Sam Allardyce about this, of course. He said, Big Sam, that he would love Barkley to stay at the club. But interestingly, he fears that a deal may already be in place with another club.
You've talked about those players on the fringe of the squad at the moment, who are those who might be injured. You've mentioned Ross Barkley as well. Do you see a future for him still at Everton?
I'd like to think so. I'd like to think, unless somebody's already done a deal for him. You know, I'm not daft enough to know in this game that those words and phone calls that might not have already gone on. So, but if we could get Ross Barkley to stay, there'd be nobody more delighted than me. Whether that is a possibility, I do not know. But for me, it's about getting Ross Barkley back and back in the Everton squad first, and seeing where we go from there.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sam Allardyce on Ross Barkley. Such an interesting situation. I'd like to welcome onto the podcast now, joins us on the phone, a reporter, some call him Mr. Everton in the corridors of Sky Sports News. He knows the club inside out, Mr. Alan Myers. Alan, you there?
Yes, I am, Pete. Thanks.
How are you, mate?
I'm good.
So we're hearing there Sam Allardyce talk about Ross Barkley. We've got Carvey here in Dharmesh in the studio as well, by the way. So if you hear them chipping in, I apologise in advance. But what are your thoughts on it? What's happening with Barkley? What is going on?
Well, I'll tell you, it's really interesting from many different sort of areas. You know, there's different things coming from different directions in this one. We heard Sam Allardyce talking there, but I think you said it in the introduction to Sam Allardyce, that it's a very, very important next 6 months, isn't it, for Ross Barkley, because he wants to go to the World Cup, I'm sure. So it's a very interesting situation that the club finds themselves in, and also Barkley finds themselves in. So, you know, Everton will effectively lose Ross Barkley at the end of this season. If he doesn't sign a new contract, they lose him for nothing. You know, he's now 24, so he doesn't come under the compensation rules, you know, that he might have done a year ago or even 6 months ago when he was 23. So it effectively is a walking away from the club of a player who is very highly rated. So that puts Everton into a situation when it comes to this January transfer window, is that this is really their last chance to make some money on that. But that situation also then alerts the likes of Chelsea, the likes maybe of Tottenham Hotspur, who look and think, well, we know where Everton are, we know the situation, but do we want him that early? Do we want him, you know, effectively coming out of what's been quite a serious injury? My thought is, and my understanding is, that he will leave the club in the summer.
In the summer, not in January. I mean,
sorry, in January.
Oh, in January, right, okay. Well, what about, I mean, does the arrival of Sam Allardyce help in any way? Because obviously the Everton of pre-Allardyce was looking in dire straits. He wouldn't have been surprised to see Barkley go. But Barkley loves the club, doesn't he? I mean, we know that. He's a fan of the football club. And they're now playing well. They're scoring goals. Sam Allardyce is there, and they're moving up the table. Does it improve his chances of staying at Goodison, do you think?
Well, it really depends on what his mentality is. You know, if he's already decided, you know, in his heart of hearts that he wants to move to another club and further his career, if you want to put it that way, although he could do that at Everton, of course. If he's already decided that, I think, well, probably the decision has been made and that's the way it'll go. It's just a case of when and for how much, if anything.
Alan, just very quickly, it's Dharmesh here. You mentioned that you think, and your understanding is, that Ross Barkley will leave Everton in January. Now, if he had, say, two and a half years on his contract, we're looking at, you know, fees of upwards of £40-50 million. How much do you think realistically Everton can expect from a player with 6 months left on his deal?
Well, there was discussion, wasn't there, in the summer, I remember, getting the story late on, you know, on that evening on Sky Sports News, that this deal, this proposed transfer with Chelsea, had fell through. Now, there was some conjecture, wasn't there, as to how far it got down the road. Some were saying he'd actually gone for a medical. The player himself came out later on and said he hadn't gone for a medical. But there was no doubt about it that there was a deal worth around about £35 million being talked about and being done, and from what I gather, the paperwork was already drawn up, so it was very close. I think that drops dramatically now in January, and I think possibly if Everton were to get around £20 million for the player, I think that is a fantastic deal for them. You know, it's not a lot of money, as you say, compared to what it would be if they'd have managed to get him onto a 2 or 3 year contract and able to sell him that way. So Everton will take a loss on this. It's unfortunately the way, from a club's point of view, the way it works with players now, with running down a contract, it can happen.
It's not bad, 20 million for someone who's got 6 months on the contract. I know in modern football terms what you're saying, but it's a good bit of money, and I'm sure Sam Allardyce would love to have that kind of money to spend, and I'm sure he'll get a little bit more as well from Fahad Moshiri.
I think Mr. Moshiri would like to have it as well. You know, yeah. He's already put £100 million into the club as far as transfers are concerned.
Yeah, they spent a lot. They spent a lot, didn't they? They need a striker. I'm going to ask you about that in a second, Al. Mm. But Chelsea, like you say, was close. Do you think it'll be Chelsea again? You mentioned Spurs. There were some people suggesting that the reason the Chelsea deal didn't happen was because there was an interest from Spurs, and that's where Barkley fancied.
Well, that's my understanding. You know, that's what I believe is happening here. I think Chelsea was certainly on the table. Chelsea certainly want the player. But I think my gut feeling will say that he'll end up at Tottenham Hotspur, because I think that's where probably he wants to go. It's Tottenham Hotspur want him. It's a young side with a young manager who seem to be going places. And I think it's London, and it's got everything that Ross Barkley would be looking for if he wanted to get to the World Cup. Or, I mean, listen, I think it's a big ask for Ross Barkley to get to the World Cup finals now. You know, he's got to have one heck of a last second half of the season to be able to force his way in there. But you never know. But, you know, he's been with Everton since he was 11. He has that tie to the club. Can I see him maybe changing his heart? And, you know, I mean, people talked about it being Koeman, but, you know, Koeman's gone now, and there's no sign of a new contract. So to me, it just says that he wants to leave the club.
Moving away from Barkley, though, Alan, I mean, Big Sam is in there. He's doing a fantastic job. And now the one thing that everyone said is that Everton need a striker. I mean, Dominic Calvert-Lewin's done a decent job while he's been in there, the young guy. But do you expect Sam to go big? I mean, some of the names that have been mentioned, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has been mentioned from Dortmund and a couple of others.
Yeah, listen, I think you've got to be realistic as to where Everton are at the moment. You know, the Evertonians in the summer felt that they would be in the top six at this point. It's not happened. It's gone completely the opposite way. So attracting the likes of Aubameyang, you know, might be a little bit difficult and a little bit, you know. But listen, they've got the money. You know, Moshiri has the money. He has the financial clout to be able to make that decision. The one I keep hearing about, and I think there is some interest, is Dembele at Celtic. And I think he's someone that Everton have looked at before when he was at Fulham. And there's certainly a lot of interest. He's, you know, he's pulled up a lot of trees at Celtic. And I think there's a lot of people who are, you know, looking at him. And I think that would be a problem for Everton, is the competition. If say Chelsea or another team like that came in for him as well, I think they'd struggle to compete in that. But you know, I definitely think Dembele is a target, and I think they're looking at him, and I think they, you know, it's someone that could well end up at Goodison Park.
Okay, Alan, well, thanks so much for bringing us right up to date with Everton. It probably will be a busy one, so I'm sure we'll have you back on the podcast, and even hopefully you can come into the studio. We'll drag you out of bed as well, mate. But thanks very much for coming on today.
Tremendous.
Cheers, Al. Have a great day, mate. Have a great day.
If you like what you're hearing from the guys and want to hear more from them, tune into Sky Sports News throughout the January window to watch them present our Transfer Centre shows. That is when our team of transfer experts will bring you up to speed with the latest developments throughout the month. You can catch it at 11 a.m, 3 p.m, 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. from Mondays to Fridays, and again on Sundays at 7 o'clock.
Oh, Natalie Sawyer. Am I the only one applauding that? That delicious delivery of the Transfer Centre promo from Nat. And yes, as she said, the transfer promo should be featured heavily with Darmish and Carvey on Sky Sports News, and all the latest news, of course, throughout the window. Let's talk about Manchester United, please, Darmish. And of course, expiring contracts are going to be a theme. Loads of players at Manchester United. The whole squad's out of contract. It's unbelievable. Out of contract players, 8 players. Come on, tell us who they are.
I'll name them for you, shall I?
Yes.
Here we go. 8 players out of contract at the end of this season. Luke Shaw.
Okay.
Marouane Fellaini. Ashley Young. Juan Mata. Ander Herrera. Michael Carrick. And the one and only Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Wow.
So you've got 8 players out of contract, but they're in varying different situations. Fellaini is the one publicly that Jose Mourinho wants to keep more than any other. He's publicly said we want to keep him. There seems to be noises coming out of Paris Saint-Germain that they're interested. And
Paris Saint-Germain?
Well, listen.
Marouane and Fellaini?
Well, look, when you hear of rumours like that, it's sometimes our job to separate what the truth is and what isn't. So sometimes you hear something from an agent, for example, Marouane Fellaini's agent, saying that Paris Saint-Germain are interested.
Right.
There are a few others who are in a different situation. So Fellaini is into the option year of his contract. So he's effective in the final year of his contract, but he signed an option last summer to extend. He's out of contract at the end of the year.
Okay.
Now, Blint, Shaw, Young, Mata and Herrera, they are all out of contract in the summer as well, but they all have an option for a further year. And Carrick.
What happens if United want to extend those options? The way the players find out is they just get a letter, or their agents get a letter or an email saying Man United have taken up the option to extend your contract by another year. That's how it's done. It will just be Jose Mourinho's decision. He'll be in talks with Ed Woodward. Ed Woodward will be saying, what do you want to do about these players? Do you want to keep them? Do you want to give them another year? Jose will go, yes, yes, yes. Put a tick next to the name.
Presumably, you'd give them all another year, right? You'd give them all a year because why? Because then you're removing the problem of losing them for nothing.
Exactly. From a business perspective, why wouldn't you extend their contracts by another year? If you look at the players that are in question here, the likes of Blint, Fellaini, Shaw, Young, Mata, Herrera, and Carrick, they cost a total of £170 million, and we're talking pre-Neymar transfer figures.
Mm-hmm.
What would they have been worth in today's market had they all had more than 6 months left on their contract? Possibly more. Would a club like Manchester United be willing to lose players of that calibre and players who commanded a transfer fee of that magnitude for nothing?
Well, the thing is, though, what you've got to remember is it's going to free up the wage bill as well. So, I mean, these guys are probably on big wages.
It's not as easy as just saying, oh, let's extend all their contracts.
Agreed.
What have we got to lose?
Mm.
Because they use those players.
Luke Shaw says he's on big money and he's not playing.
They'll all be on £100,000 a week. They're using up the club's transfer budget. That is another thing they've got to think about. That's what Ed Woodward's got to think about. That's what Jose Mourinho's got to think about.
With all eight players that are out of contract in the summer, this potentially still could be a bit busy window for departures, because Jose Mourinho is going to start having to make his mind up on these eight players. Zlatan and Michael Carrick, it's a different case because Zlatan signed an option year. He's, what, 35 going on 36 now. Michael Carrick hasn't played all season, had that issue with his heart as well.
Yeah.
But the other guys, someone like Ashley Young, fought his way into first team plans.
Played brilliant.
You would think that Jose would want to keep him. He wants to keep Marouane Fellaini, but that would require a whole new contract rather than just an option.
Right, let's talk about Fellaini. He's on the list. He's the one that Jose's been talking about. He's the one that's apparently linked to Paris Saint-Germain to go and plug the gap between Kylian Mbappe and Neymar, according to his agent. But let's hear what Jose Mourinho had to say about the big Belgian and his future.
It's a discussion between the player and the board. I'm not involved in contracts, in deals, and I respect both. I respect the player because the player has the right to decide his future. He finishes his contract, he has the right to decide his future. And I respect the board because the decisions and the discussions are under their control. So I just wait, wishing that they will have an understanding, but it's out of my control.
Oh, interesting there, Jose. Basically saying nothing to do with him. It's between the player and the board. But Fellaini, stays or goes? Darmish?
Stays.
Goes.
Interesting. Talking about central midfielders, that's obviously a problem for Manchester United then. They're thinking about players and potentially replacements. Leon Goretzka at Schalke is one that's been linked with them. He's also been linked with the move to Juventus as well. What's the crack with him? What
Great
do we know about
player.
Goretzka?
Great player. Yeah. He's
German international.
Broken into the Germany side. He's probably going to play for Germany in the World Cup. He's a defensive midfielder. He's been compared to Patrick Vieira. He gets forward, scores goals. And the other important thing is his contract runs out in the summer.
And he'll make a final decision on his future in January. He's into the final 6 months of his contract, as Carvey says. They want him to stay. And the reports emanating out of Germany is that they're willing to make him the highest paid player in their history. Will that be enough to keep him there, or are his ambitions elsewhere?
With all due respect, what's the highest paid player in
Schalke's
history?
Exactly. Listen, whatever Schalke can offer, a Premier League team
most Premier League teams, not just in the top six, will be able to match that offer. But if Manchester United are interested, as are a few other clubs, you mentioned Juventus, they're going to have competition. And listen to this quote from the Juventus chief executive. He says, Emre Can and Leon Goretzka are two players with expiring contracts, and I don't hide the fact that we are following them both like many other teams. The will of the players will be decisive. I love it when we hear quotes from chief executives from Italian and German clubs, because they just say what they think.
Yeah.
You very rarely from a Premier League manager or a Premier League chief executive say, yeah, Leon Goretzka, we're interested, we want to sign him, let's see what he thinks. No, never true. Happens. Whereas these guys, well, they might say it's lost in translation, but listen, we're not going to let that stop us.
The other thing that Juventus would have is they'd probably be able to give him more first-team football than clubs.
Well, they're still trying to replace Pogba in the middle of their midfield, aren't they?
Exactly, yeah. And if he came to Manchester United again, how many games would he start ahead of Matic and Pogba? But
one other big factor, Schalke weren't in the Champions League. So he wouldn't be cup tied for the Champions League. So the likes of Manchester United, Juventus, both in the knockout stages, would be able to use it.
And also it fits in with what Jose was saying. Jose's been saying, as regards the January window, we're focused on the summer, getting players in the summer. But if a target that we're looking at for the summer becomes available this January and we can do something, we might move and do it. And
Goretzka would fall into that category. But then again, a Premier League club would represent a foreign club as far as Goretzka is concerned, so he could sign a pre-contract agreement with Manchester United in January and join for free in the summer, and then perhaps make even more money because of the lack of transfer.
And let's not forget Arsenal. Arsenal signed Kolasinac from Schalke in the summer, so they've got a good relationship with the club as well, and they're very keen on signing Goretzka.
I think that could be dependent also on if he's going to be getting Champions League football next season. Will Manchester United make the Champions League? Will Arsenal make the Champions League? That might be a factor in his decision as well.
I think the way Juventus will be dealing with this is they'll be saying to him or his agent, well, maybe not officially yet, but when they can speak to them from January, they'll be saying, look, if you come here, we can guarantee you first team football. You're much more likely to play here than you are at Manchester United or Arsenal. Look at all the other German stars we've had here. People are talking about him being the next Sami Khedira. Yeah. You know, he's that good. So that would be the pull from Juventus. But certainly I think he'd be a fantastic signing for any English club.
You talked about another German there linked with Juventus, Emre Can of Liverpool, a player that came over with so much expectation. You know, he was going to play in the middle of that midfield. And then I think even more so when Jurgen Klopp got the job, he thought, oh, well, this is the time now for Emre Can to really push on. But Klopp's sort of gone with, kept with Jordan Henderson as the skipper. And Can's never really showed the kind of performances that many expected. So do you think he could join Juventus?
He's another man who's got 6 months left on his contract.
Because, of course, Naby Keita's been signed by Liverpool already, and he's coming.
Exactly, but Jurgen Klopp has made it clear that he rates Emre Can and he wants him to stay. Would it be Keita coming in for Emre Can, or Keita coming in to bolster that midfield and the reinforcement that they'll then have? Wijnaldum, Henderson, Can. Who else would there be? Keita. One more. Lallana. So, as
Oxlade
a replacement, potentially.
Oxlade-Chamberlain. He's played
Oxlade Chamberlain,
mid as well.
A replacement, potentially, as someone who'd reinforce that midfield, possibly.
Mm. Okay.
But they want to keep him. But then he's in that position as well, where Juventus could sign him on a pre-contract agreement in January because he would be a foreign club as far as Emre Can is concerned.
Yes.
And so Juventus are keeping an eye on both. Will they sign both? It'll probably be one or the other. And whichever one shows the will to come to Juventus, as their chief executive says, is one who will probably go to Juventus and the other one will go elsewhere.
I think Goretzka will end up in the Premier League. That's my gut feeling.
Hope so.
We're going to talk loads more about loads of other issues as well in the Premier League. New managers, of course, at a lot of clubs. They're also going to be talking to Guillaume Balaguer. We're going to be talking about the futures of Antoine Griezmann, who's been linked with a move away from Atletico Madrid, and Philippe Coutinho as well, who continues to be linked with a move to Barcelona. But we just want to do something a bit different now. Throughout this podcast, the idea is to do things a little bit different. That's what we want to do. So we're going to be rolling back the years to remember some of the transfer deals that made the headlines, some of those that maybe fell short as well. To join us now, a comedian, Paddy McGuinness, who's talking about the time that Brazil World Cup winner Rivaldo almost joined his team, Big Sam's Bolton Wanderers. Let's have a listen. Here's Paddy.
Hello, I'm Paddy McGuinness, Bolton Wanderers fan, and this is my transfer tale. In the season of 2004-2005, we were on the verge of signing Rivaldo. He's a World Cup winner. We already had a World Cup winner. We had Champions League winners, and we had European Cup winners. And Big Sam wanted to add Rivaldo to that. Brazilian legend. We were all excited. My mate's a football agent. He sent me a picture of Rivaldo in an hotel in Bolton looking at contracts. That's how close we were. But in the end, off he went to Greece to join the Greek Super League. I mean, what have the Greeks ever given us apart from geometry, early medicine, modern philosophy and the Olympics? Nothing. They've added nothing. If it had come to Bolton, we invented the disposable bedpan and the ice cream wafer sandwich. Who's laughing now, Rivaldo? Who's laughing now? This is Paddy McGuinness, and that was my transfer tale. Ta-ra.
People are laughing, but you've got to remember, I'm sure a lot of people remember that Bolton were a great side under Sam Allardyce. And I remember one of the most memorable games I've ever been to 10 years ago, Allianz Arena, Bayern Munich versus Bolton Wanderers. This is when Gary Megson was the manager of Bolton. In the Bayern team that day, Oliver Kahn, Ribery, Schweinsteiger, Podolski, Klose. Now, Gary Megson's Bolton team, he made a whole host of changes. They'd only won one league game in the season. I remember being in the Allianz Arena. They came out to Back in Black by AC/DC. The whole place was rocking. 8 minutes in, Ricardo Gardner gives Bolton the lead. First goal he'd scored for about 6 or 7 years. Then Podolski hits 2 goals. Bayern Munich are winning. 9 minutes from the end, Bolton take a long throw. Kevin Nolan bundles through the penalty area. The ball bobbles, falls at the feet of Kevin Davis. He swivels into the back of the net. 2-2. Greatest night in Bolton's history.
Wow.
Just 10 years ago, Bolton 2, Bayern Munich 2.
And just imagine, Rivaldo could have been a big part of that.
Yeah, he could have been. He could have been. But yeah, brilliant what Sam did there, wasn't it? It was brilliant. It was fantastic. And you know, great to hear from Paddy McGuinness. Great story as well.
Ice cream wafer sandwich. He did miss out.
Yeah, he did. Fair. He did. He didn't look like he had too many of them in his career, did he, Rivaldo?
You've got to weigh it up, though, don't you? Ice cream wafer sandwich or Pythagoras' theorem, Pete? I guess you can play in triangles with Pythagoras' theorem. A little math joke for you.
Yeah, good one. But the weather in Greece is always good. The weather in Greece is Darmish's one-liners. Someone just switched off. Someone just switched off there, though. You know, the weather in Greece would have taken poor old Rivaldo over there, wouldn't it? I'm sure. Absolutely sure. Okay, so let's look at the teams that have got new managers. There's a whole host of teams, guys, that have got new managers in the Premier League. Loads of them, in fact. 6 Premier League clubs have departed with their manager recently. Crystal Palace, Leicester, Everton, West Brom, West Ham, and most recently, of course, poor Paul Clement at Swansea. He's gone as well. So these are all clubs that are going to have a new manager in place for January. So you've got Crystal Palace, you've got Roy Hodgson. You've got Leicester City, you've got Claude Puel. Everton with Sam Allardyce. You've got West Brom with Alan Pardew. You've got West Ham with David Moyes. And you'll have Swansea with, who knows, we'll find out very, very soon. So we've already talked about Everton and Sam Allardyce, haven't we, with Alan Myers. So let's look at the others. What about West Brom? Let's talk about Johnny Evans. Alan Pardew has just gone in at West Brom. Johnny Evans had a phenomenal season last season under Tony Pulis. He's linked with Manchester City in August. Alan Pardew's been asked about this, and he admitted that he knows he does have a battle on his hands to try and keep a hold of Evans in this window.
I think you just have to be realistic in these situations that Johnny Evans is a top player. There's other clubs that were interested in him in the summer. Make no bones about that. I know that. He knows that. And I think we all have to be intelligent and straightforward about how we deal with it. He's under contract with West Brom, and that's how it remains until such time as there's a bid that makes it any different. When you talk about a new contract, I think those conversations he knows he can have with us. I mean, if we could keep Johnny, of course we would give him the deal that we could possibly go to in terms of the length and the financial side of it. But that might not be the whole thing for Johnny.
So there you go, the thoughts of Alan Pardew. You can tell he's worried about losing Johnny Evans. And to discuss this further, we're going to welcome our Midlands reporter on the line, Rob Dorset. Rob, how are you? Nice to speak to you, mate.
Good, thanks, Pete.
What's the situation with Evans? I mean, it sounded from that grab there as though Alan Pardew's sort of concerned about losing his star centre-back.
Yeah, and I think with good reason as well. I mean, look, West Brom turned down an £18 million bid from Manchester City for Evans in the last window. And Johnny Evans has 18 months left on his contract. So there's a decision to be made by the football club if a decent bid comes in for him again. I mean, Johnny Evans has been the epitome of a professional footballer, hasn't he? He's performed excellently for West Bromwich Albion, even though he made it pretty clear that to everybody privately at the club that he would like to leave. That was under Tony Pulis, of course. Since then, Alan Pardew has come in, but my understanding is the situation is exactly the same. He would like to go if one of the big clubs comes in for him, and we've heard that Manchester City, Manchester United, Arsenal are reportedly interested as well. And if a team came in, a club came in and offered more than £20 million for him, you'd have to say that's an awful lot of money for West Bromwich Albion for a player who has 18 months left on his contract. And of course, I asked Alan Pardew about it yesterday, if he has £20 million plus for one player, and that is given to him to spend on replacements and recruit elsewhere, that's actually quite attractive for a new manager, isn't it? Mm. But he did say to me on and off camera that, look, no, his first choice would be for Johnny Evans to stay. My gut feeling is if somebody comes in with a bid for upwards of £20 million, they'd have to let him go.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Evans. We've had an email in from Don Boswell, who's emailed us at transfertalk@sky.uk. He said this, Rob, what areas do West Brom need to strengthen in order to give themselves the best chance of survival? What do you reckon?
It's got to be up front, as simple as that. And I don't just mean strikers. Creativity has been the real problem for them. I mean, they've scored 13 goals in 18 Premier League games so far. That is relegation form without a shadow of a doubt. And Alan Pardew is very aware of that. He says he wants more creativity. He says he wants more goals. And he's been trying to make them more attack-minded. But, of course, strikers, forward players come at a premium, especially in the January window, because that's what every club wants. I mean, they have been linked with Carl Toko Ekambi, who's an Angers striker, a young man who's making an awful lot of people sit up and take notice with how he's performing in Ligue 1 this season. 9 goals, 2 assists, but they would face competition for him, and we're talking an awful lot of money. So again, I think the situation is so much dependent on what happens with Johnny Evans. I think Toko Ekambi would be too expensive for West Bromwich Albion unless they've sold Johnny Evans. So I think it's really interesting. I mean, the one thing Pardew has said is that he's had an awful lot of players injured. Nasser Chadli and Matty Phillips both might be back, actually, for this big game against Stoke at the weekend. He says he wants to see those players in action before he makes any decisions about bringing new players in. So I think it'll be late in the window for West Brom. I think he will want to assess what happens when he uses the squad over Christmas. It may be the last 2 weeks of the window when we see West Brom being busy. But, of course, they won't want Johnny Evans to go to a big club late in the window and not give them a chance to respond and spend that money. But, yeah, if they're going to spend money, they've got to spend it in the forward positions, but as we all know, that's difficult at this time of year.
It's never cheap. Well, while we've got you, we've got to talk about a couple of other Midlands clubs. One you've mentioned there, the big game against Stoke at the weekend. Mark Hughes under a lot of pressure. You know, are Stoke going to be prepared to back him in the January window, do you think?
I think they will, and I think they realise they didn't do enough in the summer. I mean, Peter Coates, the Stoke chairman, has come out and said there is money to spend. I saw a statistic the other day, actually, that pointed out that the number of points Stoke have got per pound spent, Stoke are actually in the top 5 in the Premier League for that, despite their awful start to the season. I think that gives you an idea of how frugal they've been, how realistic they've been with their budget. But at a time when transfer fees and wages have increased massively for all Premier League clubs, Stoke have tried to stick to their budgets, and I think they're suffering as a result of that. Mm. The areas they've got to be looking at are in the back 5. Mark Hughes plays with a back 3. He wants to use wing-backs. They haven't got wing-backs. It's as simple as that. It's a system that Mark Hughes has been trying to fit round pegs into square holes for. We've had teenager Thomas Edwards playing right wing-back. I mean, this is a teenager. Made his debut against Manchester City in October. Threw him in at the deep end. He struggled. But it seems that Hughes is absolutely adamant he wants to play this system. So he's got to bring in some wing-backs, as simple as that. A striker and a midfielder are on his wish list as well. Saido Berahino has gone missing, just not part of their plans. Again, they're not scoring enough goals. But again, I think you have to say it's tied in with Mark Hughes' future. Will he still be in charge by the time the January transfer window opens? So many questions about that. I think Stoke is a real unknown at the moment about who they'll bring in and where they go from here.
And what about Leicester? Because they've improved, haven't they, under Claude Puel. You'd think that he's taking the job with certain promises that they might be able to strengthen as well. I mean, talking to departures, you know, Islam Slimani's been linked with a number of clubs. Leonardo Ochoa, Kelechi Iheanacho, and Musa currently backing up Vardy. But, you know, do you expect them to bring in another striker? Because, you know, Iheanacho's come in for big money, hasn't he? Not really hit the ground running. Vardy's back amongst the goals once again. But Slimani, it's not worked out either. Leonardo Ochoa, it's difficult to tell, isn't it? I mean, do you think they'll sign a striker, or do you think they're happy in that department?
No. I can't see them. I think there'll be outgoings in the striker department. They've got a lot of capital tied up in strikers who are simply not on the pitch. I mean, you mentioned them there. Islam Slimani is Leicester City's record signing. £29 million they paid for him. Ikechi Iheanacho, £25 million for him. You know, you've got virtually 55 million quid's worth of talent there sitting on the bench. And Slimani didn't even get in the squad against Manchester City for the EFL Cup game the other day, even though Claude Puel made seven changes. So I think in those terms, you have to say that
he's away.
You know,
he's away.
He's got to be, hasn't he? And we know your team, Newcastle, are supposedly interested. But look, you know more about that than I do. But my understanding is that's tied up with Newcastle's takeover and the finances and whether they could afford the sort of money Leicester would want for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, how much? If they want £2 million, we might be in.
That's the problem. You see, this is the problem with these clubs. It's not just about recouping the money they've got. It's about saving face. Leicester spent 29 million quid on him. They can't afford to give him away for less than, even if they let him go for 15, half of that. That would be really embarrassing for the football club, I think you have to say. So look, I think they'll try and get some strikers out. They've got Adrian Silva. Remember him?
Yeah, so he'll play, right? He'll be there in January and he will play.
Yeah, he can't play on New Year's Day because they will only register him on New Year's Day. That's the first opportunity they get. So he'll probably make his debut in the FA Cup match in the third round, I think. But he's got to get in the team again. And Leicester's midfield is looking probably their strongest area at the moment with Wilfred Ndidi and Vicente Iborra, who's looked at a different class since he's come in. You've suddenly got this world-class player in Adrian Silva who's going to struggle to get into the team a little bit.
What about Riyad Mahrez?
He wants to go. Nothing has changed there. He absolutely wants to go. And he's been performing pretty well, hasn't he? So it's whether people are prepared to spend the money. It's as simple as that. Leicester will not let him go on the cheap. They've made it very clear to me behind the scenes that they want something well north of £30 million for him, the former PFA Player of the Year. They will not let him go on the cheap. They've got him on a long-term contract. It's only whether one of the big boys is prepared to spend the money. If they do, Morris would jump at the chance. It's as simple as that. One player I wanted to mention to you, though, that's of interest to West Bromwich Albion and Leicester, as I understand, is a Lokomotiv Moscow centre-back, Solomon Kvirkavelia. He's 6'4", a Georgian international. It's one both clubs are monitoring. And I think that'll be a key area for Leicester, with Wes Morgan, who's still performing great, Harry Maguire, who's come in brilliantly at centre-back. They've got an ageing centre-back stock, if you like. Robert Huth has been struggling with injury. They would like to get another centre-back in if they possibly could. He fits the bill, but I'm told Alan Pardew likes him too.
Rob, top man, thanks so much for coming on. And you go, and I know you're busy with news conferences and everything else today, so you get yourself away and find out what's happening. We'll be joined with Rob Dorset, I'm sure, again on future transfer podcasts, without doubt. Cheers, Rob.
Cheers, mate.
So yeah, nice to hear from Rob Dorset on all things in the Midlands. But it's not just those clubs that have got a new manager in place. We've also got a couple in London, West Ham and Crystal Palace. We've got another listener question here who's emailed us transfertalk@sky.uk. Curtis Stevens, who says this: where do you think West Ham should strengthen in January? And this is, of course, a question that David Moyes will be asking himself. What do you think, Carvey?
I think David Moyes will probably have about 20, 25, 30 million pounds to spend in January. He's obviously done a very good job. I think the areas he'll be looking at, possibly centre midfield. Obviously, they nearly signed William Carvalho for Sporting Lisbon in the summer.
Did they go back for him?
Yeah, I think they've been continuing to talk with the Portuguese club. Obviously, relations between the two clubs are much better now. But another option in central midfield is Steven Nzonzi from Sevilla, who's fallen out with the Sevilla manager. He's not playing for Sevilla at the moment. He wants to leave
former
Sevilla.
Former Stoke man.
Yeah, former Stoke, Blackburn Rovers. So he's got experience of the Premier League. Played very, very well for Sevilla a couple of times. I've seen him. Won the Europa League with them when they beat Liverpool in Basel. Interestingly, Nzonzi was in London just a few days ago. People thinking, oh, is he here to speak to West Ham? But I do think he's got some family in London, so that could be one of the reasons he was here. But he is a player. Expect to see him moving to a Premier League club in January, possibly at West Ham. I know they're very interested in him. Other areas, I think David Moyes will be looking for another centre-back. Obviously, players like Jose Font injured, Collins, they're both getting on a bit. I think he needs a new centre-back. And as well, up front, I don't think David Moyes has been convinced with the options he's got at the moment. Andy Carroll, question mark about his future. Javier Hernandez, does he really fit the style of play that David Moyes is using at the moment? At the moment, he's using Arnautovic and Antonio up front. So I wouldn't be surprised if he dipped into the market and bought a striker as well. But definitely a midfielder, Carvalho or Nzonzi.
Would he sell Carroll, do you think?
I think he would. I think West Ham's owners have been quite keen to move Carroll on. You know, if you look at his record, his injury record, that's been the big issue for them.
That'll be interesting to see. He's been with clubs, hasn't he, before, Andy Carroll. What about Crystal Palace? Roy Hodgson's gone there. He turned it around, hasn't he? He's on a great run with Palace. Unbeaten in 7 in the league, 4 draws and 3 wins, and now they're up to 14th, and they were rock bottom not so long ago. And, of course, they've had Wilfried Zaha in brilliant form. Christian Benteke is in and out, but he got a goal, didn't he, last weekend? Roy Hodgson, do you think he's happy with the squad he's got, or do you think he's going to want to add?
Just talking about their form, incredible. Yeah. 7 straight defeats at the beginning of the season, and they've picked up 17 points in their last 11 games. I spoke to Roy Hodgson earlier on this week, actually. He says that, in a way, they have exceeded expectations, particularly in this unbeaten run that they're currently on. Now, transfer activity is going to be very, very interesting to see what happens at Selhurst Park over the next month or so. Roy Hodgson has said that he expects there to be some incomings during this window. They've made what he describes as due diligence on a number of players. But before I go on to potential incomings, I did ask him about Wilfried Zaha. Mm. You mentioned how good a form he's in. Now whispers are emerging that, you know, there are certain big clubs interested in Wilfried Zaha. Perhaps wasn't ready when he made that move earlier in his career to Manchester United, came back to Crystal Palace, of course, and now, in the form of his life, you'd have to say, bigger clubs again, once again interested in Wilfried Zaha. I put it to him, can you guarantee and appease Crystal Palace fans that Wilfried Zaha will be at the club come February the 1st? And he said, I can't make any guarantees in football. And interestingly, he went on to say, I quite welcome these rumours. I quite like them because it means that Wilfried Zaha is playing well. But he did go on to say, I'm like any other Crystal Palace fan in that I want Wilfried Zaha to stay at Crystal Palace. I can't see a situation where they would let Wilfried Zaha, who's under a long-term contract, they'd let him go. Talking about incomings, though, we were told that Crystal Palace have had a bid turned down for the Besiktas striker, Cenk Tosun.
Yeah.
Now, I did put this name to Roy Hodgson in his press conference earlier on this week, not expecting him to give me any information on it.
But he did.
And he said, look, I don't want to get bogged down in names, but yes, we're watching him.
Yeah, okay. And they're not the only one, are they? I think Cenk Tosun is one that's been watched by a few.
Would he sign? Would Besiktas be willing to let him go? Besiktas finished top of their Champions League group. Tosun was a very, very vital part in that. He scored 4 goals in their 6 Champions League group games. They finished top of their group, a group that included Porto, who are Liverpool's opponents in the last 16. Also Monaco and RB Leipzig. Wasn't an easy group. They topped it and he was the star man for them. But Turkish League, Premier League, would he think, do I want to make that move? Ambition-wise, money-wise, Besiktas, not only wages for Tosun, but money that Besiktas might receive as well.
Yeah.
That money talks, that's what's going to sway this decision.
I think he'll cost a lot of money, by the way. A lot of money. I really do. I think you're going to be talking 30 plus.
Those are the things that Roy Hodgson did say about these transfers. But I just want to share what a thoroughly decent man Roy Hodgson is.
And he is a decent guy.
Is. We turned up to the press conference and my cameraman was at another job before the press conference and was running late.
Right.
The media person came in with Roy Hodgson at 1:30 and asked me, is your cameraman here? I said, he's just outside. He needs 5 minutes to set up. The media man asked Roy Hodgson, would you mind waiting 5 minutes before starting the press conference? Roy Hodgson said, no problem at all. So thank you once again, Roy. I did thank him at the time, but you don't often get that, and you don't often hear stories like that from Premier League managers, especially Premier League managers who are at the wrong end of the table. But Roy Hodgson, thoroughly, thoroughly decent man.
He's one of the good guys. He is one of the good guys, Roy. We love Roy. Swansea City, we've got to talk about them. They haven't got a new manager in place, so it's harder at this moment in time to talk about, you know, who they may or may not bring in. They're linked with a whole host of foreign managers, aren't they? Ronald Koeman has been mentioned, Frank de Boer's been mentioned, Slaven Bilic has been mentioned. But how important is it that they do get a new man in the dugout sort of before the window opens, so that they know who they're going to be giving the money to, and if there is any money to spend, that is?
Good question. I think they're trying to get somebody in as quickly as possible. The problems obviously they've got is one, where they are in the table, right at the bottom. They're in this relegation dogfight. How many managers really want to get themselves involved in that? Also, the transfer budget is not substantial at all. The names we've seen mentioned, obviously Frank de Boer is the bookies' favourite. We saw what happened with him at Crystal Palace, although he would suit the style of play that Swansea were playing, you know, before they had all these problems. Slaven Bilic is another possibility, although what we're hearing at the moment is that Galatasaray are very interested in signing him, and I think if it was left to him, he'd much rather go back to Turkey and Galatasaray than get involved in a relegation dogfight at the bottom of the table. Tony Pulis, we've been told Swansea not interested in him, and Ronald Koeman.
Why? I don't understand why they're not interested in him. He'd be perfect.
Yeah, if you want to get out of trouble, think Tony Pulis is the man. Maybe they'll revisit that. Ronald Koeman, we've been told he's not interested in the job. He just feels...
He's waiting for the Barcelona job.
He wants a bigger job.
maybe he'll get it. Right, well, delighted to say, also joining us on the line today is Guillaume Balaguer, and Guillaume's going to be a regular throughout the series. But today he's joining us on the phone from Spain. He's going to El Clasico, and I think you're in Barcelona, aren't you, in the minute?
A little bit, yes, in Barcelona. In about 20 minutes or so, we'll be hearing from Ernesto Valverde about, well, the usual stuff, I suppose. What does he think of Ronaldo and Messi and the Clasico, of course, which is tomorrow.
Yeah, so just a small game in El Clasico, isn't it? So we don't need to worry too much about that. It's not very important in the terms of world football. Goodness me. Well, are you going to be at the game, Guillaume, as well?
We will be doing it with Thierry Henry in the studio, yes. So,
fantastic.
That's I think we start at 11:30, and it's a very early start tomorrow, because I was talking to Javier Tebas, the head of La Liga, yesterday, and the competition should try to take customers from the Premier League. Hence the Asian-like kick-off time of the Clasico tomorrow.
Oh, interesting. Well, I dare say there'll be a lot of supporters, Premier League fans, who will watch that game, no doubt about it. But talking about Barcelona, as you're there, of course, Atletico Madrid have complained to FIFA over an alleged approach from Barca for their forward Antoine Griezmann. What's the latest on that situation?
Well, the reason why they've done that, because you won't be surprised to hear that Atletico Madrid have done that 100 million times, talking to players that were under contract. Like, for instance, Vitolo, now at Atletico Madrid, but was at Sevilla, and they did it well. Of course, he was under contract, and before they spoke to Sevilla. But it was a little bit too obvious for everybody that Barcelona were pursuing Antoine Griezmann. Different moments of this situation. Last summer, Barcelona asked permission to Atletico Madrid to talk to Griezmann. Atletico Madrid said no. His buyer clause is 200 million, but from the 1st of June, it will go down to 100 million. And Barcelona have made him a top priority for next season. So as part of that process, they decided, the chairman of Barcelona and the CEO, decided to go for dinner with Griezmann's parents and Griezmann's sister. Not with Griezmann himself, but with the family. Mm. The sister is in charge of his affairs, financial affairs, and he hasn't got an agent, but she's kind of acting like one. And that was published in the Catalan press. Then spokesman of Barcelona, Guillermo Amor, was asked about it, and he was just so clumsy. They kind of said, like, what? Meetings? No. You know, yeah, we meet people. Well, yeah, there was a meeting kind of thing. Mm. And then Atletico Madrid reacted to that and said, look, this is not on, and we have to go to FIFA. Because after the Clásico this week, say Barcelona gets the 3 points, I think it will be a battle between Atletico Madrid and Barcelona to win the league. So they are in Atletico Madrid's eyes and settling their best player.
So does this open the door for Manchester United then a bit, Guillaume, would you say? Does it improve their chances of getting Antoine Griezmann? Or do you think, knowing the player, that he's intent on a move to the Nou Camp?
I think there's very close if he hasn't been signed, it's because he cannot be signed, but they're very close to agree personal terms with Griezmann, which is the first step for that to happen. That's Barcelona. But Manchester United were the only ones to put a massive offer for Griezmann in the summer. Basically, was kind of all agreed. The player was happy to go, and then he just thought about it twice because the situation of Atletico Madrid, they couldn't sign, and he decided to stay on. That surprised Mourinho, who had spoken to Griezmann, talking about doing kind of tapping little things. he had spoken to Griezmann. It was all agreed, but... But yeah, he didn't go that way. Now, of course, Manchester United are waiting to know what his decision is going to be. They don't know yet. As I say, they cannot sign any. He cannot sign anything with Barcelona. But it's about those two teams. I think Barcelona are favourites, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it sounds like Barcelona are in the box seat there, Guillaume. I mean, and how would that affect the future of Philippe Coutinho? Because, of course, we all thought his move to Barcelona may well be back on, if not in January, then in the summer. But if they sign Griezmann, does that improve Liverpool's chances of keeping Coutinho?
I never thought that Coutinho moves was on, as in that it was going to happen. I've been reporting from last summer that Liverpool have not put price for him. They did not want to sell. Exactly the same is happening now. They do not put price to him. They don't want to sell. We'll see next summer, of course. I mean, you have to review that situation constantly. But that's where he stands now. And Barcelona are very pessimistic about the possibility of getting Coutinho. Of course, they may try to put an offer for him. But it starts to sound a lot to me like Barcelona are trying to say, look, because they've leaked, Barcelona has leaked that Liverpool are asking for 150 million. And they haven't. But by saying that, the next thing you can say, of course, if you're Barcelona, is that, look, for that money, really, we cannot or shouldn't have him. Let's do a little bit of science fiction. Imagine that he goes to Barcelona. He could not play in the Champions League. The league, at the moment, is quite clear in favor of Barcelona. You don't really need Coutinho. So it will be signing him to win the cup. It just doesn't make sense. But more than that, I think financially Barcelona cannot go for Coutinho and Griezmann. And if they feel that they can have Griezmann, that would be their top priority.
What about Real Madrid, Guillaume? You know, we've seen a number of big-name transfers over the years, but are you expecting them to be back and busy again in this January window?
They don't really do anything in January. It's very strange that they do. They got, I think, Higuain and Marcelo many years ago, but generally they don't do anything. But they found themselves in a bit of a conundrum. They have not been scoring, and the club has said to Zidane, do you want a striker? He said no, so that's out of the question for now. But Zidane has told the club, if there is anything in the market that is really worthwhile and he has to go now, okay, but I don't need a striker. He wants to keep going with Benzema. But the other situation is the goalkeeper situation. I think they want to replace both goalkeepers, Navas and Casilla. Now, the one that they've identified as a target is Kepa of Athletic Bilbao. Really good goalkeeper. He's started getting to the Spain frame. Possibly going to the World Cup if he can play. But his contract finishes at the end of this season. So, 20 million euros is his higher clause. Real Madrid don't want to spend that. Want to wait until the summer. But Kepa feels that Athletic Bilbao may put him on the bench, which will affect his possibilities of going to the World Cup. So he's asking Real Madrid to actually put the money on the table and buy him because also there's a second situation that Real Madrid are considering. They don't trust Casilla, and Navas has been injured a few times in the last 12 months. So it will be a guarantee of a goalkeeper that can go straight into the lineup, even though probably Navas will still be the number one. So I feel that Kepa will be the only business that will do. But interesting for us to keep an eye on, Courtois is another situation that they're monitoring very closely. Mm. Courtois wants to go to Real Madrid. Real Madrid wants Courtois. Chelsea will want the deal done now for next summer. And Real Madrid, at the moment, it's a no. But again, they may force, they, you know, Chelsea may force, and Courtois may force the hand of Real Madrid. Want to keep on, obviously not for now, but Chelsea will want a deal to happen now for the summer.
Okay, that'll be an interesting one to watch. We've got an email in here from one of our listeners as well, who's emailed us, transfertalk@sky.uk. It says this: what's the status of Barca's pursuit of the Brazilian Arthur? Is he coming in January? And who's in pole position to sign him? And what's Grêmio's stance? So this is the young Brazilian player, plays for Grêmio, Arthur. And Barcelona apparently interested. That's thanks to Sam D, who's emailed that in. What are your thoughts on that, Gia?
Well, Barcelona went to meet Arthur and his family and his friends and his entourage. This was Robert Fernandez, the technical secretary. And very innocently, he brought him a Barcelona shirt. Arthur put it on. There were private pictures that a few hours later went into the media and became viral of him with a Barcelona shirt. Not very clever from Robert. Basically, yes, they want him. He's got a buyer cost of 50 million euros. They don't want to spend that kind of money. He's 21. It's a kind of Iniesta, but without being that level yet, of course, kind of player. And they want him. But Grêmio first said, what do you think you're doing? We're going to go to FIFA. They have not gone to FIFA. And now they're saying, actually, if you pay 50 million, we won't be upset anymore. So Barcelona said, no, we don't want to pay that much money. Meanwhile, Real Madrid said, well, actually, we're willing to pay 50 million. And that's where we stand.
Okay, so he could be one to watch. Will it be Real Madrid? Will it be Barcelona? Guillaume, many thanks for that. Enjoy El Clasico. I hope the news conference goes well today. And thanks so much for joining us on the line.
No problem, Pete.
Okay, so nice to hear from Guillaume there. But there's so many more listener questions that have been sent to us. If you want to email us a question, it's transfertalk@sky.uk. Transfertalk@sky.uk is the email address. Or you can tweet us, just use the hashtag transfertalk and we'll pick up your questions. And don't forget, go on to our iTunes as well. Give us a 5-star review. This is my guarantee to you, our lovely listeners. If you go on to the iTunes page and you give us a 5-star review and you put a question on as well, I can guarantee you 100% we will answer your question on the next podcast. So go on there, give us 5 stars, put your question on there, and we will answer every single question. You know what? If we have to do an hour of answering questions, because so many of you have given us 5 stars, then that is what we will do. Get us to the top, boys. That's what we're asking. Okay, listen, this is the email questions. TJ Swags has said this. That's a great name. TJ Swags has said, what's the latest news on Chelsea's transfer business? And what do you say about David Luiz?
No secret that David Luiz's relationship with Antonio Conte has had its ups and downs. Mm. He's injured at the moment. I think he'll be back probably at the start of the year. Now, World Cup this summer. He's not in the Brazil squad. He's not in the Brazil manager's plans at the moment. He needs to get back playing for Chelsea. The question is, that does Antonio Conte want to keep him? We've been hearing reports that maybe Barcelona interested in signing him. His agent knows that other clubs are interested in signing him, so he could well be a player who's on the move in January.
Okay, what about Chelsea incomings?
Conte was saying that he wants to do some business. Obviously, he missed out on signing Llorente and he missed out on signing Ross Barkley. He's got a bit of a strange relationship with the powers that be at Chelsea. Mm. Whenever you ask him about transfer business, he always kind of refers you to the club, and he says, well, basically, I'm just a head coach. I don't think he always gets his own way in the transfer market, but he seems to have been in a better mood in the past couple of press conferences where we've seen him. So maybe that suggests that he's made some progress on some of the players he wants to bring in.
Okay.
Coincidental, when he's grown the beard, he's become in a better mood as well.
Okay, we've got to move on. Jonas Sanjani sent this. If Paulo Dybala leaves Juventus, where would he likely go? He's an attacking player, plays Juventus, he scored goals. Guys, is he linked with anyone? Are you aware of anything or not?
I would say Barcelona or Real Madrid.
Okay.
If Juventus
not,
let him
not
go.
The Premier League.
Juventus are not going to want to let him go.
No. Okay, fair enough. Mark Young has sent this in. Hi, guys. Do you think that if Newcastle United were not up for sale, that they should look to sack Rafa Benitez after the appalling run that they are on? Or would they keep him and back him in the transfer window?
That's up to you, Pete.
Well, I'll tell you this. There is absolutely zero chance that Rafael Benitez will get sacked, even if they lose every game between now and the end of the season. He's not going to go.
Who would sack him?
Well, this is the thing. I think the PCP partners and Amanda Staveley, who are hoping to buy the club, very much see Rafa Benitez as their plans. I think they would be more likely he would stay, and even if they went down and got no more points between now and the end of the season, he'd still be in charge, and they would be hoping to persuade him to stay in the Championship and bring them back on. So, no, I do not think Rafael Benitez will leave. Will he be back to the transfer window? Yes, I think he'll have a certain amount of money to spend. It ain't going to be big money, but I think he will have money to spend, and whether Mike Ashley gives him that because he knows he needs to keep the club in the Premier League, or whether it comes from a loan from PCP, Amanda Staveley, or an initial payment that obviously with the idea that they're going to take over the club, I think he will spend a bit of money, and I think there will be one or two arrivals at Newcastle in the window. Will it be enough to keep them in the league? We'll have to wait and see. Andrew Jeffrey says this, are there any players Manchester United are looking to move for this Christmas? So who are Manchester United looking to move for?
They will move for only players, Jose has said, that become available from their summer targets.
Goretzka.
From January.
Goretzka, Griezmann, we've mentioned.
Looking further forward, Gareth Bale.
Ooh. So it's the G's.
That will go away, Gareth Griezmann Bale. That would be a big one. Got questions on Facebook as well. You can go find us on Facebook. Remember, we are Transfer Talk at Sky Sports News. And one here from Tom Sargent says, Gareth Bale, we've just been talking about, big talking point recently with rumours of him joining either Manchester United or Tottenham. Where do you think he'll end up, and who do you think needs him the most?
End up where? Long term or short term? I think he's staying at Real Madrid. Zinedine Zidane has always said that he's staying. Looks like he's staying.
If he left, though, we'd think Manchester United would be. Because he wouldn't go back to Tottenham, would he?
New stadium.
New ground.
Well, Harry Kane, Gareth Bale, yeah, Dele Alli.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Manchester United.
I've got a feeling he'll end up at Manchester United sometime. Next season, maybe. It won't go away, that rumour. It never seems to go away. And I always think that when they don't go away, they always end up happening.
Like Gareth Bale on one side, Mesut Ozil on the other.
Ooh, now you're talking, now you're talking.
Which brings you to the next question.
It does indeed. Opiemi Tangi Toriola, who says this, what are the chances that Ozil will be going to Manchester United? You kind of touched on it already. You think there's a chance, Carvey?
I think in the summer there's a very good chance, especially his relationship, having worked with Jose Mourinho in the past, but I don't think Arsenal will sell him in January.
Okay. Peter Evans says this, is Daniel Sturridge leaving Liverpool?
In a word, I'm going to put my head on the line, no.
Okay.
That was really brave, considering that Jurgen Klopp said 2 days ago that he wouldn't be leaving.
Okay, fair enough. So Klopp and Darmesh, you got the double that he's staying at Liverpool. You know, listen, money talks. If someone came in and wanted to pay big money for Daniel Sturridge, you'd probably go, but will they do that? He's very rarely fit, isn't he, at the moment? So he's got to get playing games and get scoring, as he did a couple of years ago. Stuart Gaynor says this, do Burnley need to break their transfer record again to sign cover for Robbie Brady, or would a long-term loan be sufficient?
I think all Burnley fans have to do is just listen to Sean Dyche, and whatever he says goes. Look at the job he's doing. Just trust the man. If he brings a long-term loan in, I think it will be fine. If he brings a full-time replacement in, he'll be the man. Sean Dyche is the man as far as Burnley is concerned.
Okay, thanks to everyone who sent those questions in. Don't forget, you can email us your questions. Transfertalk@sky.uk is the email address, or use the hashtag transfertalk on Twitter. Kaveh Solikull, Domesh, thank you very much indeed. Don't forget, we'll be back. January the 2nd is the next edition. No doubt the window will be open. We'll have movement already. It'll be really interesting to see what's happened and what is coming up in the window. And every Tuesday and every Friday throughout the window, you will be downloading the latest podcast and keeping right up to date with all the whispers that are flying around. And our reporters are going to be giving us the facts about a lot of the smoke that'll be flying around during January. And also next time as well, we're going to be hearing from Peter Odemwingie about that transfer, probably the most famous transfer that never happened. We're going to be getting his thoughts about why he ended up sitting in his car outside the training ground and all the rest of it. So can't wait for that. Don't forget to download that one. That is January the 2nd, and we'll see you then.